Well, let's stand, and John, would you open in prayer for us?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day you've given us today. Thank you for the sunshine and the blue sky. Thank you that today is the day you rose from the dead, conquered sin and death, and paid the ransom price for us. Please open our hearts today and teach us through your word what you would have us to learn. Please give Papa the words to speak. Maybe we'll be attentive listeners. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. All right. The topic that I have felt impressed to speak on today, the title of it, is quite kind of humorous. Some of my children are desirous to know what the subject is going to be spoken of before the time of being announced. Someone really was quite insistent what the topic was today, and the title is this: For Ye Have Need of Patience. Hebrews 10:36. And the daughter who's blushing bright red at the moment is the one that was guilty. Today, we live in an impatient society. That's my mother's statement, and I'm going to back that up. People are hurrying hither and thither, impatient to get where they're going. We have faster cars, trucks, buses, trains, airplanes and motorbikes. Everyone is hurrying and impatient to get where they're going, often irritated or irate with the person in front of them doing 10 kilometres an hour slower than what their vehicle can do. We have common but rude expressions: get to your point, don't waste my time, hurry up, get a move on, get going. Time is money, and money is what we're here for. When we order or buy things over the telephone, the assistants anticipate our impatience. I suppose you want it now. Or worse, I suppose you want it yesterday. Would you like me to express post that? Would you like to pay some extra to have that expedited, sir? Because we are impatient, we want what we want now. We are not disposed to be patient and wait until we have the money. Why bother? We can buy now and pay later. So now there is a pandemic raging, and it's not COVID, but it's a pandemic of debt.
Yeah.
The buy now, pay later scheme has been accepted as a normal way of life today. We have credit cards, personal loans, chattel mortgages, lay-by. All of these things allow us to purchase things before we have the money to, allowing us to get the good things in life. Poor Henry. Many businesses allow a 30-day account, allowing us the convenience of one bill at the end of the month instead of lots of little bills. But again, it's another form of short-term credit and buying before we have the money. There are businesses that, for a small fee, you can access your week's pay before you've even earned it. Because we are impatient, young people enter into physical relationships with their partner instead of waiting for marriage. And then when we do marry, people are relationally short-fused and impatient with others. And we have a second pandemic that is raging, and that is of divorce and broken relationships. Arguments, fights, divisions, and contention, and that within the church. Yet the Bible tells us we need to be patient. We need to be forbearing with others, slow to anger, and long-suffering. We are also exhorted to bear with others, to wait on the Lord, to endure, and to stand fast. All of these things we could sum up in the short scripture: ye have need of patience. So, as we look around us at the world today, the culture that surrounds us, yes, even our carnality, the old man that's within us, And we see impatience, irritation, offense, anger, peevishness, frustration, the lust to have, coveting, and wanting things now. We need to put off the old man with his deeds. And we need to walk counter to the culture that surrounds us. Now, more than ever before, we need to be out of step with the world around us. We need to look to God and his word for instruction in this area. We have need of patience. So first of all, I want to look at what it is. Next, I want to look at the character of God. Then we have four applications of patience, four exhortations to put patience on, and hopefully, if you're still with me, we'll give a conclusion after that. Okay, so what is it? The Oxford Dictionary defines patience as being bearing or enduring evil of any kind, or just simply bearing or enduring, with composure, exercising or possessing patience. The next one is to be long-suffering, forbearing to or towards something or someone. Third one, quietly awaiting the course or issue of events. And the last one, persistent, and the one I like, persistent, constant, unwearied in the face of difficulties and hindrances. Isn't that great? Isn't that a great definition of patience? Persistent, constant, unwearied in the face of difficulties and hindrances. And so, to start off a discussion on patience, we need to look to God. Moses, in Exodus 33:18, asked God, and he said, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." And God replied, "I will make my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you." And he did. In Exodus 34:6-7, we have the account. "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin.'" And so we see when God was asked his name by Moses. You remember when Moses was talking to God in the burning bush, and Moses was trying to wriggle out of the thing that God was asking him, and he said to him, "Well, who do I say sent me?" Thank you. "I am." "I am? I am what?" No, "I am." And one of the things that we need to realize, that God is. Not God is what, but God is. God is. God is patient. God is patient. He is patience. And so when we try to be patient, and then we're impatient. Now we try and be patient, and then we're intolerant. So we try and be patient. But God is. He just is. Patience is his character. It's a part of something that flows out of him, out of a well that has no depth, no end to it. It's an upspringing well that has no end, okay, of patience. God is patience. It's the character of God. Psalm 86:15, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." Notice the words "full" and "plenteous." In Romans 2:4, God is described, Paul describes the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering. In Romans 3:24-25, "Justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, through the forbearance of God." So our very redemption is through, it's facilitated by the patience that flows out of God. 9:22, "God endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction." in Romans 15:5, the God of patience and consolation grant you. The God of patience. God is patience, and patience is of God. In Nehemiah 9:17, Joel 2:13, Jonah 4:2, God is described as being slow to anger and of great kindness. Are you quick to anger? Do you flare up when someone steps on your toe or gives you a bump when you're holding a cup of tea? God isn't that way. He is slow to anger. In Psalm 103, verse 8, God is slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. In Nahum 1:3, he is slow to anger and great in power. So we see throughout all the scripture that God is patience. The great I am, the God is patient. He is rich in it. He is plenteous and full of it. And as he is, so we, his children, should be. Okay, the second point about the character or the nature of God, in Galatians 5:22, it tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, which is patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. So one of the fruits of God dwelling in our heart is, yes, we know the joy. The joy of being a Christian. You can spot a Christian because it's on their face. They can't hide it. They've just got this smile at the corner of their mouth that just keeps poking out. Okay? They've also got patience. It's a part that flows out of them. Okay? So, as being part of the character of God, when God takes up residence and your physical body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit, his Holy Spirit dwelling in you will bring forth these fruits, and one of them is patience. Not only is it a personal fruit, but it is also the fruit of the church. And in Revelation, we have six different scriptures here that talk about, in Revelations 1:9, mentions the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. In 2:2, talking to Ephesus, it says, I know thy labor and thy patience. To Thyatira in 2:19, I know thy works and thy patience. In Philadelphia in 3:10, kept the word of my patience. And so we see in the church as a body, as a whole, is patient. Patiently waiting for the Lord, patient about the work of the Lord. In Revelations 13:10, here is the faith and patience of the saints. 14:12, here is the patience of the saints. And so we see that patience, being an attribute of God, it becomes the attribute of his children, and it is an attribute of his church. We are to have patience. Ye have need of patience. So next we have four applications of patience. Why we need patience. What we're going to use it for. So the first one I'd like to mention here is patience in fruit bearing. And when I say fruit bearing, I mean holiness. One of the major facets of Christianity is fruit bearing. In John 15:16, Jesus said, "But I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit." Now, if you think that that's talking about the apostles or the pastors and the bishops only, that word ordained, that's all of you here today. God has ordained you all and chosen you all to life, to be his disciple, and he desires from all of you that you would go forth and bear fruit. Yet, to bring forth fruit in our personal life, we need, amongst other things, patience. In Luke 8:15, it talks about the parable of the sower. And on the good ground, which is the one we want to be, right? We don't want the thorns and thistles or the path or the rocks or anything like that. We want the good ground. But on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. And so our personal lives, when we hear the word of God, it brings forth fruit in our life. Not immediately, perhaps. When you sow seeds, the seeds go into the ground and they sprout. They send up some leaves. Okay? It grows into a bush. And at the fullness of time, after the flowers have all been pollinated, it brings forth fruit. Not overnight. We wait. We yield ourselves to God. We yield ourselves to holiness. We put on the new man patiently, again and again. We forsake all known sin. We confess our sin. We apologize for our sin. We put off the old man again and again. And we put on the new man again and again. And it brings forth the fruit of holiness. Holy living. In Romans 2, verses 6 to 9, it says, in the day of judgment, God will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey, and that word there actually could be translated believe. Do not believe the truth, but obey or yield themselves to unrighteousness. To them, their reward will be indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. Do you believe, and do you yield yourself to righteousness? Do you believe that Christians should live holy lives? Yes. And so we who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory, honor, and immortality, the reward, eternal life. Romans 6:22, but now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. We have need of patience for bearing fruit. The next one, we need patience in tribulation. The Bible specifically tells us in this life we're going to have trouble. Troubles. Not necessarily all the time, but there will be periods when you are persecuted and that you will have trouble. So, for example, if you become a Christian and the rest of your family isn't, or where you work, you are a Christian and the rest of them are not, there will be things in your life that you cannot do. There will be things that you need to reprove, rebuke, or speak against. There will be places as a Christian you cannot go. And in Romans 12:12, he exhorts us that we need to be patient in tribulation. In James 5:10-11, take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy or blessed, which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. So the Old Testament prophets' patience in their trouble is to be an example to us. So when you think of things like that, think of Elijah in his dungeon. Okay? Think of Jeremiah in his dungeon. Think about Elijah and the death threats from Jezebel. Think about Micaiah getting thrown into prison by Ahab. And these men, these godly men, are to be our example of patience. Are you feeling like you just can't bear with an issue at the moment? Well, are you sitting at the bottom of a well in 3 foot of slime? Has someone just offered to take your head off your shoulders before the sun rises tomorrow morning? Has someone thrown you in prison because you spoke up and said that this is what the will of the Lord is? No. We're here and the sun is shining outside. There's blue sky and there's green grass. You have need of patience in tribulation. And we need to look to those prophets who went before us and the Christians who went before us who suffered and gave us a good example of suffering to be patient in tribulation. 2 Thessalonians 1:4, Paul says that we ourselves glory in you in the churches, speaking about the Thessalonian church, in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. We don't always have persecutions, and the Thessalonian church at this time were being a shining light to all the church. And at different times, the church of God in this world has suffered persecution. So I know, I think it was in the 1980s or 70s, the Colombian church, ministers over there were getting killed left, right and centre. In communist Russia, they were being sent off to Siberia. Back in the Anabaptist days, they were being persecuted for all sorts of reasons by the Catholic Church. The Waldensians, the Hussites, whichever group it was, throughout history, the Christian church has been persecuted. Romans 5:3-5 says, "We glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto you." The fruit of tribulation should be patience. Now, we have a warning about tribulations and persecution. It is to be for Christ's cause. There is no point glorying in tribulation if we brought it on ourselves. So 1 Peter 2:19, "For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when you are buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if, when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called." For even hereunto were you called. Underline that in your Bible if you make a habit of underlining. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Note, it is only thankworthy when we suffer wrongfully. We are so proud. We are so resentful of being corrected, even when it's rightful. We make out that the one correcting it did it in the wrong spirit, or it was the wrong timing. The truth is, we don't take being buffeted for our faults patiently. But then to be buffeted when we've done no wrong, that's intolerable. Forget it. No way. To be told off when I did something right? You've got to be kidding. For hereunto were you called. Christ did. So what about the next time when your spouse corrects you? What about the next time when your parent corrects you? Or what about if your boss, your workmate, your neighbor corrects you? "For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, taking it patiently, for even hereunto were you called.
Ooh.
The next one. Patient in hope. By far the greatest thing we are encouraged to have patience in is waiting for Christ to return. Don't lose heart, brethren. Be patient. The Lord will return.
Yeah.
Our scripture that we started our message off today, Hebrews 10, I'll read 35 to 39. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We have need of patience, that once we have done the will of God, we will receive the promise. And we believe this by faith. So we see patience and faith tied together. Hebrews 6:10-12. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We'll have no flash-in-the-pan Christians here today, please. We have no bright burning light for 5 minutes and then it's gone. Through faith and patience. God is coming back and he wants you to be patient and labour and bear fruit and look in hope to his return. Be patient. Keep your full assurance of hope unto the end. Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. Okay, slothful doesn't mean anything to us. Don't be lazy. Have you heard that before? Don't be. Keep laboring till Christ comes. Gird up the loins of your mind. Hold up the hands that hang down. Keep going. Okay? 1 Corinthians 1:7, waiting for the coming of the Lord. 2 Thessalonians 3:5, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. James 5:7-8, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The farmer plants his seed, and he waits for the rain, and it grows. In like manner, so also be patient. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. In Romans 8:22-25, we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only they, but we ourselves, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And so we see that patience is an integral part of waiting and having hope on the Lord's return. Galatians 5:5, for we through the Spirit do wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Romans 15:4, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So we see patience, hope and faith intricately tied together. There are many, many more exhortations for waiting for the Lord, waiting on the Lord. And both of these, of course, require patience. And a favourite scripture of mine is from Luke 12, 35 to 37. And I think this is a beautiful scripture. It's an inspirational scripture. I find it so. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find watching. Are you watching? Are you patiently waiting for the return of the Lord with hope? Are your loins girded about? Are your lights burning? Okay, our fourth one, and maybe I should have put this one first. These weren't in they weren't in order of importance, but this one is patience with others. So we have patience in fruit bearing. We have patience in tribulation. We have patience in hope. And we need patience with others. In Romans 13, verse 1, we are told that we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, support the weak, be patient toward all men. In Colossians 3:13 says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And Ephesians 4, verses 1 through to 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Who here, I have a question, who here has experienced the patient long-suffering of the Lord? Who here has?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Hasn't he been patient with us?
Amen.
When we have been self-willed, we have been proud, we were unwilling, stroppy, well, shouldn't we be patient towards others if they are that way towards us? Yes, we should. What about when we didn't know him and he revealed himself to us? Did you hear the gospel for the very first time and repent just there and then? The very first time you heard about Jesus?
No,
you probably didn't. He led you gently to himself. He was patient and long-suffering. You probably resisted him. He spoke to you and he told you about issues in your heart and you went, not now, not now, Lord. I've got things to do. And you resisted him and you didn't, and you wanted to keep your heart to yourself. And you kept him out and he was patient and he kept knocking. Let me in. Let me in, Robert. Let me in, Anna. And then finally, you swung open the door of your heart and you said, Lord, come in.
Yes.
Okay? And then, when you asked him, he forgave you. And so too, we should treat others the same way. And we have a very... It's actually on the subject of forgiveness. But isn't it interesting how patience and forgiveness in some senses can mean actually the same thing? We have a story in Matthew 18, 23 to 35, and it's about the steward. And listen to the story for the word patient or patience. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king. Who's the king in the kingdom of heaven? It's Jesus. Okay. Which would take account of his servants. That's us. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant, God, was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, and laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that you owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet. I guess he let go of his throat, eh? And besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you desired me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on you? And his lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also to you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Verse 26. Have patience with me. Verse 27. Was granted patience and forgiveness. Verse 29. Have patience with me. Verse 30. Would not, was treated with intolerance and unforgiveness. The moral of the story is clearly in verse 33. Should not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? The obvious answer is yes. He should have had patience on his fellow servant. Let us be patient with others. So that's the four areas that I've pulled from the scriptures that I've found that exhort us to patience. The reasons why we need patience. Now we have four scriptures where we are told to put it on. That we are told to, it's something that we need to do to have this patience. So the first one is Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. That's patience. Put on patience. Okay, the next scripture. It's a beautiful one in Colossians 1:9-12. If you underline anything and you want a prayer, this is a beautiful prayer. Colossians 1:9-12. Paul said, he does not cease to pray for you and to desire that, this is the Colossian church, you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. What a beautiful prayer. Paul was praying that for the Colossian church. And we can pray that. We can pray that for our children. We can pray that for our friends. We can pray for each other. So the part one, Paul said, I pray for you that these things would happen. But also note, straight after that, he says, I desire that you might be. Mm-hmm. It's a directive. I desire that you do this, that you put on. And so one of the things, and I know I've said this before, and I apologize for repeating myself, and I'll repeat myself again probably, but we are to pray as though it were all up to God. But we are also to work as though it were all up to us. Don't just do one of those things or the other one, but do them both. We need to pray. We need to earnestly seek God's strength and God's spirit for patience. But then we also need to gird up our mind, strengthen our arms, and be patient. Now, another question. Is it sufficient to just be patient? Is it? Is it sufficient to just be patient? So, patient and fretting. Patient and resentful. Patient but grumpy. No. What does it say here in Colossians? It says that we are to be joyfully patient, joyfully long-suffering. You know, in Hebrews 10:34, this verse always stood out to me. Took joyfully the spoiling of their goods. On Saturday, yesterday, we had a thief. Car drove up, dashed out, grabbed the money jar and took off in their car and took off with it. Did I immediately go, oh, I'm so glad. Oh, they took some money. Oh, I'm so happy. No, I didn't. I stomped my foot and told Elizabeth she better get another money jar. It just cost us 33 cents. And we don't. We don't joyfully take the spoiling of our goods. Only a Christian can do this. Joyfully long-suffering.
Yeah.
Joy-suffering. It's an oxymoron, isn't it? But we are called to joyful long-suffering. Okay, the next scripture I want to read, and this relates to our use of finances. And this one maybe is a sensitive subject because many of us haven't necessarily examined the buy now, pay later system that we live in. And living in this world, we have allowed certain things into our lives that perhaps weren't as good as they could have been. And so I don't want to offend, I don't want to upset. I just want to read this scripture here and try and get some points out of it. But in 1 Timothy 6, verses 5 to 14, let me read it. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt mind and destitute of the truth. It's a pretty harsh sort of name calling there, but let's read on. Supposing, these men here, suppose that gain is godliness. From such withdraw yourself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give you charge in the sight of God, who quickens all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that you keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5. Note the put off or the do not do. supposing that gain equals godliness. From such, withdraw yourself.
Wow. Goodness.
Verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. And you know, there's not many places in the Bible, and Jesus himself, swear not, is what he gave the command to the disciples. But here in verse 13, he invokes the name of God. He said, I give you charge in the sight of God. I command you in the presence of God. Keep this commandment without spot until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't keep it for the first month. Don't keep it for the 5 years following. Don't keep it for the first 10 years while you're in that church. Keep it until the Lord returns. Full stop. And he invokes the name of God. He said, in the sight of God. There's not many places he says that. And then in verse 11. So if we have a put off, we also have to have a put on. Okay? It's no good telling our children, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. We need to give them paths in which to walk. This is how you can please me, my child. And so God treats us that way. He says, don't do that, do this. And he says, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. So we have over here materialism, the love of money, coveting, lusting after money, getting more money, buy now, pay later, maybe not pay at all if we don't have to, you know, get, get, get. And on the other side, we have love, faith, righteousness, godliness, and patience. Our entire culture has given itself over to materialism and the pursuit of gain. The love of money and coveting has become the normal Christian life. I'm sorry to say. God is calling us to a contentment and patience with his provisions. We are to follow after patience. Our last scripture that I want to read is in 2 Peter 1, 3 to 9. 2 Peter 1, 3 to 9. And this says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. How much has he given us? Some of the things? All. Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world, that is through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance or self-control. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. Look at that. We won't be unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind, and he cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So please note, we have a deliberate order in this list. Peter specifically tells us that we have to have one and then add another. Once we have another, we add another. And he was specifically consecutive. He had one following the other. Please also note that the lacking of these things, a person is blind. And if you think that you don't need these things, then, and you're fine without them, then unfortunately, you may need to see a spiritual optometrist. You may not be seeing afar off. So we have faith followed by virtue, followed by knowledge, followed by self-control, followed by patience, followed by godliness, followed by brotherly kindness, followed by love. Now, if we just acknowledge right here, right at this point, the importance of starting well. What's the first thing here that we've got to start with? Faith. Don't try to be a Christian without it. If you think that patience comes first today, after today's sermon, then you've missed it. Faith comes first. In Hebrews 11:6, the Bible tells us, and God tells us his thoughts here, so we can trust him, since it's all about him, right? Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we must start with faith. Don't start with patience. Today's topic is on patience, and ye have need of patience, but we must start with faith. We must not put the cart before the horse. If we try to earn heaven with our merits, our self-control, our patience, the cart is before the horse. It would be a very interesting trip to town, putting the buggy in front of the horse and facing backwards trying to get to town. It's not going to work. Isaiah 64:6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and our righteousness is as filthy rags. Our patience without faith are as filthy rags. Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How many? Some? Most?
All
have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, that's the all, he has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Ephesians 2, 4 and 5. And then in Ephesians 2, 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Salvation is the gift of God given to everybody who in faith believes. The Philippian jailer cried out to Paul and Silas and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" What thing? Do you think he said, "Be patient"? No. He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and ye shall be saved." And we know John 3:16, that God so loved the world that whosoever, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ shall have everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So we see faith comes first. Believing, I'm saying faith. Romans 5, 1 to 2. Therefore being justified by faith, therefore God acquits you. Justified means to be acquitted. You're standing before the judge of the universe. And he says to you, what have you got to say for your life? And you say to him, I believe in Jesus Christ, in the merits of his blood, that he cleanses me from all my sins. And he acquits you. He says, forgiven for Jesus' sake. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Okay? So it is by faith. But then once we believe, so we enter into the grace by faith. But then once we believe, we should live as though he is a rewarder. Remember that scripture in Hebrews 11:6? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, that's you and me, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That God is. He must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so we come again to that fruit bearing and that holiness. Live as though he is going to reward you for how you live. Back to 2 Peter 1:3 to 9. Faith must precede patience. Faith must come before patience. So too, when you look at this list, self-control must also come before patience. So we have faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and then love. A good, healthy self-control of self must be in place to have patience. Self-control and faith is the fuel in the tank of patience. Self-control is the put-on part of patience. So we have a big red pump out here, and it sucks water out the dam and throws it all over our peas and waters them. Okay? We cannot do any work with that pump if we don't put fuel in it. We can press the button, we can wind that thing over until the electricity's gone over the battery, but we're not going to pump any water. And that's what self-control and faith is for us. If you want to achieve the work of patience, the work of throwing water over the paddock, you've got to put fuel in the tank. Uh-huh. And that fuel is faith and self-control. Okay, in conclusion. In conclusion, for ye have need of patience. As God is, so we should be. No one doubts that God is love, and as his children we should be loving. No one doubts that. Does anyone doubt that here? No. God is love. But God is patience, and so too, as his children, we should also be patient. When we believe in faith that Jesus Christ is willing and able to forgive us our sins, and it's not just enough to believe he could do it, but you have to take the next step. And have you taken the next step? Have you actually asked him to do it? So he is willing and he is able. Jesus is. But 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, then he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So there's something that we actually have to do. It's no good sitting back here going, oh yeah, yeah, I believe Jesus can do it. I believe in God. I believe he created the universe and I believe. But have you actually connected? Did you take the step? Did you say, God, please forgive me for my sins for Jesus' sake? And when we do and we confess them, call them by name, call out the impatience, the intolerance, the anger, all of those filthy things that you've got inside you there. Let them out. Give them to God. He knows they're there.
Yeah.
You're not hiding anything. Okay? Give it to him. And he what? Does he go, oh, I'm going to judge you for that? No. He cleanses us. He cleanses us from them all and makes us clean. Then he takes up residence. Your body your physical body. It's, I know it's physical, but it has a spiritual aspect too, a soul. And his spirit comes in with your spirit, and you become a walking temple of God.
Amen.
And he brings forth fruit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, patience, okay, temperance. We need patience to bear fruit for God's kingdom. What fruit ever appeared the day that you planted the seed? What fruit did? Did you get anything back from that little sapling fruit tree that you planted the next morning when you woke up? No. God wants us to be patiently sowing, patiently weeding, patiently watering seed for his kingdom. We need patience to overcome tribulations and persecutions. This world is not our home. Our kingdom is not from here.
Yes.
And so when the children of this world chide with us, we have need of patience. We need patience in waiting, something that we've probably told to our children around the time of their birthday or Christmas, says, good things come to those who wait. But isn't that true? We need to have patience because the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. We need to have patience. Christ is coming back, and his reward is for all those who run with patience the race that is set before us. Hebrews 12:1. That after we have done the will of God, we will receive the promise. We need patience with others. As we have been forgiven, so too we should forgive. But almost more importantly, as we do forgive, so too we shall be forgiven. And have a cross-reference for those who want to look it up. Have a look at Matthew 6, 14 and 15. Forgiving, forbearing, long-suffering, and being patient. We are to be sound in patience and not soon angry. Titus 2, 2 and Titus 1, 7. James 1, 19 tells us to be good listeners, reticent speakers, and slow to anger. In all our relationships, we need patience. While patience is a fruit of the indwelling Spirit of God, it is also something that we are commanded to put on. Put on patience. No one would ever assume a scripture like, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, was the sole ministry of the Holy Spirit. Would you think a scripture like that was the sole ministry of the Holy Spirit? No, I don't think it does. To walk worthy and to be fruitful in every work, isn't that work for our hands and our feet? What do we walk with? We walk, okay, with our feet. It's things to do. Okay, so too, patience and long-suffering is a work for our will and our determination and our self-control. Another work that we are to do is to flee and withdraw from those that covet after money and that will be rich, that love money, and we may say the entire buy now, pay later culture that surrounds us. Don't be blind to the fact that you need patience. Seek it. Welcome it. And finally, don't put the cart before the horse. Faith comes first. Christ died that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. John 10:10. You are not missing out by waiting for God's timing. In what he provides and when he provides. Don't listen to the world when it allures and offers cheap alternatives sooner. And the last scripture for today Psalm 27, verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let's stand and pray. Hallelujah, Father, glorious God, you who are all patience and all long-suffering. Lord, we come before you and with tears of gratitude thank you for your kindness and your long-suffering and your goodness toward us.
Yes, Lord.
That when we resisted you, we were stubborn and self-willed, and yet you patiently, graciously, mercifully waited.
Yes.
And then when we finally asked you, you forgave us. Lord, I pray that you would please draw all of those people here today who do not love you, who have not opened up the door of their heart and said, Lord, please come in. Father, draw them to yourself. Father, we have need of patience. Oh, Lord, we have need of patience. The world around us is setting us such a bad example, Father, and you know it. You see the weakness in ourselves. You see our carnal old man. You see our intolerance and all the things that we don't want to be, Father. And Lord, I pray that you'll wash them away,
yes,
by your Holy Spirit. Strengthen us, Father. Strengthen our inner man that we may joyfully, long-sufferingly be your disciples. We love you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your blood, for your body, that we have entered into this relationship with our loving Heavenly Father.
Yes.
Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You are dismissed.